Looking for your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Looks like the two of you just fell right out of a catalog.
Right, well, I'm Special Agent Tad Marshall. This is Special Agent Sally Pierce.
Yeah, you already told me your names. But what's your purpose?
Well, you know, somebody dies on the water, it's a federal matter.
Basically, the question, like, are we living in the Matrix?
Well, first of all, the Matrix is ridiculous because at its basic premise, it didn't work at all. You know, like humans
what?
As batteries. What? I mean, come on. Humans consume energy. They don't produce energy. So the whole fundamental underlying assumption of the Matrix, boom, toss it out the window.
All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So that's the first sentence. Now, a corporation, whether it's a person in the eyes of the law or not, is neither born nor naturalized.
Welcome to this week's episode of the WVXU Discovery Podcast. Start here. I'm Trip Eldridge, your podcast jockey. Get set for a quick overview and sample of three podcasts today, two national and one locally produced, to help you navigate the ever-growing world of the podcast phenomenon. Plus, we're introducing the all-new Start Here Blast weekly e-newsletter. You'll get a personalized email with a podcast we feature on Start Here. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here Blast email from the bottom of the page. Also, now you can rate Start Here on iTunes. And if you're a fan, a 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. So don't forget to rate us on iTunes today. And now, with special thanks for technical assistance from Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and writing research and curation support by Connor Eldridge, it's time to start here. After a string of mysterious deaths in Burns, Alaska, Special Agents Sally Pierce and Tad Marshall arrive to investigate. They soon find there's more going on than meets the eye. Welcome to Wolverine, The Long Night, Marvel's maiden voyage into the world of scripted podcasts. After dominating the superhero movie market, Marvel's first scripted podcast is a major success, with expert sound design and talented voice acting from names such as Bob Balaban, Scott Adsit, and Richard Armitage. Wolverine The Long Night is an enthralling and immersive audio journey into the Marvel Universe. You won't be able to stop listening as you uncover the truth behind the mystery in the little Alaskan town. The show launched back in September, so it's just a couple of binge listens away from being all caught up for you with the addicting storylines and a perfect podcast if you're a superhero fan, young and old. Here's a clip from the first episode of Wolverine The Long Night titled A Thousand Ways to Die in Alaska. In the episode, agents Pierce and Marshall arrive in Burns to investigate a massacre on a fishing boat. And in this clip, the agents talk with a local about what he witnessed at the crime scene.
Yeah, Phil, can you, you get me a flashlight?
Yeah. The beam cuts through the shadows, and there they are. The captain and his crew. Their bodies, anyway.
Details. I wouldn't want to upset you, miss.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, I see more than I want to. A man's face staring back at me. Eyes and mouth gaping open, split clean. Red lines raked across it.
Red lines?
Like a fillet knife went down the bone in some places. One of his eyes was split through so that it was jellying out.
Did you recognize any of the men?
You bet. That's seasonal work, and there's always people coming and going, but you get to know every face when you live in a town like Burns. Might have thrown darts or shot a game of pool with one or all of them down at the Dirty Shame. Now I'm pinching wrists, hunting for a pulse, seeing if there's any life left in them. Then we rolled over a breaker and I lost my balance and slid down into the thick of it all. I come to notice something solid crinkled beneath my feet. There were packages beneath the bodies.
Packages? What do you mean by that?
Packages, like plastic bundles about the size of hay bale. Drugs, I reckon.
How many?
Maybe 50. I wasn't counting. No, I climbed out of there as soon as my conscience would allow.
There's no mention of any packages in the police report. Is that correct, Agent Marshall?
No. No mention.
Don't know what to tell you except what I've seen.
You're certain of it?
Well, when you say it like that, I make sure it was dark. Still, could have sworn.
You know, before you said you called the dockmaster.
You bet I did. Right after I seen the ship adrift.
Right. Why not the Coast Guard?
I talked to the Coast Guard just this morning.
Yeah, but our records indicate that they weren't contacted until 6 hours after you returned to the dock.
That's not on me.
Well, any theories on the delay?
I can only tell you where I'm coming from, son.
Okay.
We're at the edge of the world. See?
Uh-huh.
Well, nearest Coast Guard station's 3 hours out. Well, that's not much help, is it?
So then what happened?
Nothing. Nothing happened. I lost a day of crabbing. Hauling back the boat, talking to the cops, talking to the Coast Guard, talking to you, whoever you are.
Well, we already went over that.
Oh, we don't see too many suits and burns is all. Looks like the two of you just fell right out of a catalog.
Right, well, I'm Special Agent Tad Marshall. This is Special Agent Sally Pierce.
Yeah, you already told me your names. But what's your purpose?
Well, you know, somebody dies on the water, it's a federal matter.
So, you're saying this isn't connected to the other deaths?
I'm sorry, what?
What other deaths?
You mean you don't know what's been happening in Burns?
Well, you'll have to excuse us. We just got here. We're just still getting the lay of the land.
What other deaths?
Well, cops have been saying it's a grizzly. People might have believed it the first time, but not the second. A burial don't do that
to me. How many?
Two. That I know of, anyway. Two women. My town's on edge. This didn't used to be a place you locked your doors. Between them and this here boat, a lot of blood been spilled in one place, don't you think?
A sample of Wolverine, The Long Night, Marvel's first scripted podcast. You can catch up on the Marvel podcasting universe with Wolverine, The Long Night, available on demand on WVXU's Podcast Central. The universe is a big place, so big it almost hurts to think about. That's why we have other people do it for us. Two of those people now have a podcast, and that podcast is now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. It's called Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe, and it's exactly what it sounds like. Join Daniel Whiteson, he's a physicist at the European Center for Nuclear Research, and Jorge Cham, creator of PhD Comics and a PhD in robotics, for a fun-filled discussion of the big, mind-blowing, unanswered questions about the universe. They'll address issues that have baffled humans for thousands of years, explaining the science in a shorts-wearing, jargon-free way. You'll have a great time. You'll also learn more than you ever thought possible about the universe, which we are only a small part of course. The show is a podcast version of their popular book, We Have No Idea, which uses humor and simple terms to explore the problems that have stumped scientists for all of time. Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe is more of the same in podcast form. In fact, here's a clip from the first episode of Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe, taking on the question...
Is the whole universe a simulation?
Yeah, so that's a crazy question. It's basically the question, like, are we living in the Matrix?
Well, first of all, the Matrix is ridiculous because at its basic premise, it didn't work at all. You know, like humans as batteries. What? I mean, come on. Humans consume energy. They don't produce energy. So the whole fundamental underlying assumption of the Matrix, boom, toss it out the window. Uh-huh. But the core idea there that we could be immersed in a deeply realistic virtual reality that we're not aware of, right? That we think reality, that what we're experiencing is reality when actually it's something simulated. That's the fascinating question.
Like what we see and what we hear and what we touch is not like actually real. It's just like a computer feeding us these sensations to us.
Yeah. And only I think recently has this possibility even arisen because we do now have virtual reality, right? You can have fairly immersive experiences and people extrapolate from that.
It's getting more real and real, the simulated things we can, the things we can simulate.
Absolutely. I had a virtual reality experience a couple of weeks ago. I went to a go-kart place with my son, mm-hmm. and I went into a virtual reality go-kart racing thing where you sit in a chair and the chair shakes when your car bumps into stuff. And it's totally immersive. And, you know, every time I was about to crash into the wall, which was a lot of times, I found myself like throwing my arms up to protect myself and ducking and stuff like that because it really felt...
It felt realistic.
It definitely triggered all of my instincts. And absolutely, I mean, I would have wet myself if I hadn't peed just beforehand.
Well, I had a very intense virtual reality experience too recently. I read the news.
And you think, I hope the universe is a simulation because this is crazy.
Yeah. but yeah, so that's the idea. That's the question. Is the universe a simulation? Like, is what we see around us real, or are we like sitting in a vat of liquids floating somewhere in some alien beings, factory being, fed all of these sensations and sights and sounds just to kind of keep us happy for some reason?
You make it sound so sinister. Why can't it be like a cozy, warm, cuddly environment where we're like nestled in a sunny garden somewhere and being fed this beautiful, wonderful universe of simulations, right? Why does it have to be like we're experiments in some, you know, we're subjects in some sinister experiment somewhere?
Well, why else would somebody do that? So let's take a step back. So this question has been kind of very recently come up. I mean, it's always sort of been around in science fiction, but... it's sort of become serious lately, right? Like Elon Musk is wondering about it.
Right. And so we went out in the street. We asked people if they thought that they were living in a simulation. So think for a moment yourself, listener. Do you think the universe could be a simulation? Here's what people on the street had to say.
Well, like a Matrix or something like that? Could be, but I doubt it.
No, but this is because I don't want to tell myself that everything I do is a simulation.
Our universe seems so... realistic and normal. It doesn't seem like that could be possible.
From the new podcast, Daniel and Jorge explain the universe from iHeart's How Stuff Works. Unlock the secrets of the universe, or at least have a lot of fun trying, with Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe, now available on WVXU's Podcast Central. Now for our weekly local spotlight. The U.S. Constitution has been and always will be an important talking point in politics, law, and pretty much every facet of American life. But does anyone actually understand it? With complex, lofty law speak, the Constitution can be a bit of a puzzle to decipher. Well, thankfully, you can get a better grasp on the foundation of American government with the help of Constitutional Conversations. Cincinnati attorneys Jack Graydon and Bruce Petrie have teamed up to tackle the 200-year-old document and uncover the buried meanings and guidelines in its text. Bruce and Jack choose a topic to discuss each episode, looking to the Constitution and legal precedents to make sense of our country's current legal, political, and social climate. Here's a sample from a recent episode of Constitutional Conversation titled Corporations, Are They People? Incorporating Some Thoughts. In this first episode of a two-part series, Jack and Bruce examine the controversial and complicated legal phenomenon of considering corporations to be people.
The importance of the 14th Amendment at the time was not to protect corporations. In fact, even though there have been attempts to say otherwise in legal arguments, there's really no support for the proposition that either the founders were thinking about corporations or the 14th Amendment was designed to establish corporate rights.
Well, it's interesting, yeah. Of course, the 14th Amendment sometimes is referred to as the Incorporation Amendment, right? Because to the extent it incorporates the Bill of Rights to make them apply...
Kind of an ironic use of the word.
Right. So incorporation.
It has nothing to do with incorporating a business.
Right.
Yeah.
So in my research, I came across a case, an 1886 case, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, argued by a Senator Roscoe Conklin.
Roscoe Conklin, yeah.
And he, in fact, had produced a journal that the Joint Congressional Committee that drafted the amendment vacillated between using citizen and person. and the drafters chose person, he said, specifically to cover corporations. But according to historian Howard J. Graham, quote, this part of Conkling's argument was a deliberate, brazen forgery.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, in that Santa Clara case, apparently, before argument, Mr. Chief Justice Waite said, the court does not wish to hear argument on the question whether the provision in the 14th Amendment to the Constitution, which forbids a state to deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws, applies to these corporations. We are all of the opinion that it does.
So the Conkling argument is infamous because some legal scholars go even further to say that Conkling deliberately and knowingly misrepresented to the court the history of the 14th Amendment.
Wow.
Because the argument is he knew, and everybody knew, that the 14th Amendment was designed as a post-Civil War amendment for those reasons, as opposed to a corporate protection amendment. But Conkling made what some say is one of the boldest misrepresentations to the court in an oral argument ever.
Wow.
And weirdly, he did so not to expand the rights of corporation, but to avoid the big hand of the federal government regulating his client, which was the railroad. He was a railroad lawyer. Well, right. So was Abe Lincoln, but...
Yeah, yeah. You know, but that, to me, raises kind of an interesting point, because in looking at the text of the 14th Amendment, in that light, there's almost an interesting dynamic that reminds me a little bit of the Second Amendment. So let me read the relevant part of the 14th Amendment, and then I'll tell you why I'm thinking what I'm thinking. It says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So that's the first sentence. Now, a corporation, whether it's a person in the eyes of the law or not, is neither born nor naturalized. Mm-hmm. So the first sentence would, to me, seem to exclude almost by its terms corporations. But it goes on to say, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor, and I think this is the operative language for Conklin, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. The reason so essentially it seems to me to adopt the Conklin argument, you have to almost ignore the first sentence to a certain extent, right?
Yeah.
A sample from the local podcast, Constitutional Conversations, featuring Cincinnati attorneys Jack Graydon and Bruce Petrie. You can become a more competent constitutional citizen with the help of Constitutional Conversations, available now on WVXU's Podcast Central. It's time for our weekly visit to the Apple Podcast Charts to see what's hot and what's bubbling up via iTunescharts.net. And speaking of bubbling up, the perfect podcast for October is brewing. It debuted at the beginning of the month and is already knocking at the door of the top podcasts for the month, even with a tough competition like Dr. Death and Serial. The podcast is brand new and called Unobscured. The debut season is perfect for this month because it's all about the Salem witch trials. And what's spookier than paranoia and mob rule in the name of religion? This new podcast is hosted by Lors Aaron Mankey and is spending its entire first season on the topic, from the history of Salem and its warring ruling classes to the women on trial themselves. That's Unobscured, topping the Apple Podcast charts. That wraps up this episode of Start Here, WVXU's Discovery Podcast. And speaking of discovery, astronomical discovery, that is, you want to check out our newest original podcast, Looking Up, with Dean Regas and Anna Heyman. Dean's the outreach astronomer at the Cincinnati Observatory and co-host of the PBS series Stargazers, and author of the book Facts from Space. Anna's the observatory's director of development with an innate curiosity about the cosmos. That's Looking Up, now at WVXU.org. And if you're turning into a podcast junkie and just can't get enough, try these two new discovery resources, NPR's The Big Listen with Laura Ober. You get an audio peek into great storytelling podcasts. And for a more blog-like written review and recommendation, NPR has earbud.fm. They use unique categories to help you discover podcasts with things like advice, do it like a lady, and big ideas. And of course, Jim Nolan, Kevin Reynolds, and the WVXU staff feature our favorites on Podcast Central at WVXU.org. That's where we'll add your recommendations if you just email us at podcast@WVXU.org or call 513-294-8030 and leave us a voicemail. I'm Trip Eldridge for WVXU, and thank you for choosing to start here.